Good morning. It is 10:01 a.m. on Friday, March 6, 2026. Special meeting of the Northwest Seaport Alliance Managing Members is called to order. The Managing Members will now meet in executive session as allowed by RCW 42.30.110(1) i, to discuss with legal counsel representing the agency's litigation and potential litigation as defined at RCW 42.30.110(1)(3). The executive session will end at 10:45 a.m. and will be immediately followed by a closed session as allowed by the Federal Maritime Commission regulations and related laws found at 46 U.S.C. Section 40306, 46 CFR Sections 535.608 and 535.701, (1), and as authorized by FMC Agreement Number 201228. The Managing Members will be in a closed session until 11:45 a.m. and will reconvene in public session at 12 noon. Thank you. Good afternoon. It is 12:01 on Friday, March 6, 2026. I call the special Managing Member meeting back to order. I am Alliance Co-Chair, Port of Tacoma Commissioner Dick Marzano. Co-Chair and Port of Seattle Commissioner President Ryan Calkins is also present, as are the following commissioners: Commissioner Cho, Fellerman, Hasegawa, Keller, McCarthy, Wilcox. Commissioner Ang is remote, and Commissioner Muhammad is excused. Could we please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you all for being here this afternoon, and we'll start with our CEO report. John?
Okay, well, thank you, Co-Chair Marzano, and welcome to our March meeting. I know it's an unusual day to have a Managing Member meeting on a Friday, and want to thank the commissioners for their flexibility and for the public. We have a number of items for you today. I'll start with the consent agenda. On the consent agenda, there's two items that I would like to highlight. First is the Pierce County Maintenance Dredge Project Authorization. This is a project to complete maintenance dredging and high spots associated with the berthing area there at PCT. And we had an additional amount of $90,000 associated with that project. So we're asking for approval of that on the consent agenda. And then the second item on the consent agenda is a neat partnership that was presented to us by the University of Washington. And this has to do with a camera pilot study where the University of Washington has chosen to install a pilot camera system with some AI technology that will help us look at the operational functionality in and around Husky Terminal with rail activity and trucks, and look at that both from an operational efficiency standpoint and safety standpoint. So we're excited about that partnership, and there's no hard costs to the Seaport Alliance. And then on the action agenda, we have three items for your consideration today. The first is second reading of the South Intermodal Yard lease agreement with the Union Pacific Railroad Company. We brought this to you last month, both UPMBN, and this has to do with our domestic rail operation in the Tacoma Harbor. And so we're moving to finalize that agreement with Union Pacific, and the BNSF, we're moving to a month-to-month to get to certainty on a long-term lease there. And then the second item is a request for authorization on the Fifth Amendment to the Terminal 5 lease with SSA Terminals in Seattle Harbor. And this has to do with a container yard expansion project where we're removing a building that exists on the terminal that then will become functional use for SSAT. And once that is ready, they will begin paying rent on that portion of the terminal. And then the third item is an item where staff is requesting a further modification agreement of the CMA CGM payment. This has to do with a minimum annual guarantee agreement that exists between the Northwest Seaport Alliance and CMA CGM. And we are working through some optionality with that agreement, and we're requesting another 100 days to work through that optionality. So that will come before you as the third item on the action agenda. So with that, I'm going to turn it back to Co-Chair Marzano. Thank you.
Thank you, John. At this time, we're at now public comment. Public comment is now open. Comments are welcomed on any agenda item or other alliance-related matters, and each speaker is limited to 3 minutes. First, I will ask, has there been any written comment?
No.
Thank you. And we do have Mark, Local 19. Mark, you want to come up here? And welcome.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Good afternoon, Commissioners, CEO Wolf, and others. This afternoon, I'm here. I'm Mark Elverson with IOW Local 19 Seattle. I'm here to speak on 9B. Local 19 Seattle is asking for a pause on the demolition of the CFS warehouse. Warehouse space on dock is very rare in Seattle. The leaseholder, Pier 5, made little effort to bring break bulk business to Pier 5. We would like the NWSA to remove the warehouse from the lease and manage the warehouse for break bulk, metals, coils, and aluminum in future work. We have been in contact with stevedore companies about this warehouse. We would like to see this as a bonded or FTZ asset to the NWSA. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Is there anybody else in the audience that hasn't signed up that wishes to say anything? If not, we'll now go to work groups, committee reports. I see none on the that was slated for today, so seeing none, we'll go to the consent agenda. The consent agenda consists of items 8A through 8E, requesting that the managing members of the Northwest Seaport Alliance. 8A is approved the minutes of the February 3rd, 2026 meeting. 8B is approved disbursements on checks 2431 through 2548 and 2550 through 2575, and electronic payments totaling $9,244,360.70, issued during the period of January 27th to February 19th, 2026. Excuse me. 8C approved disbursements totaling $29,652.75 on check 2549, issued during the period January 27th to February 19th, 2026, to the State Auditor's Office. 8D, grant project authorization, the amount of $90,000 for a total authorized amount of $1,675,000 for work associated with the Pierce County Terminal Maintenance Dredging Project. Project identification number 20111-4.03. And AE, authorizing the CEO or his delegate to execute the interlocal agreement between the Northwest Seaport Alliance and the University of Washington to pilot an artificial intelligence cameras study for operational and safety data in the North Intermodal Harbor. I am removing item 8C from the consent agenda for a separate consideration. Are there any other requests to remove items of consent? Seeing none or hearing none, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Commissioner Keller, second by Commissioner Feldman. For the following 8A, 8B, 8D, and 8E. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye. Here.
Thank you, Commissioner Ng. Sorry about that. The next item, it would be 8C. I'm looking for a motion to carry that.
So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Cho was the made the motion. Commissioner Hasegawa seconded it. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Thank you, Commissioner Ng. Did the affirmative. All those opposed, motion carried.
I abstain on that one.
Yes, sorry, John, I forgot to ask that one. Sure. Thank you. Commissioner McCarthy abstained. Okay, we will. Oh, I already did that. Let's see. See how quickly I'm moving along? We're now on action items. John, you want to get us going?
Sure. Thank you, Co-Chair Marzano. The first item on the action agenda is the South Intermodal Yard lease with UP Railroad and lease holdover agreement with the BNSF Railroad. And presenting today, Jim Vo, who is heading up our real estate division. And Jeff, are you introducing? Jeff Bellarude, our Chief Operating Officer. Welcome.
All right. Good afternoon, Commissioners. I'm Jim Vo, Senior Director of Real Estate for the Northwest Seaport Alliance. And we're here to request, let me get to the slide here. Am I doing this wrong? Oh, I didn't even have it on, thank you. So we're here to request the managing members of the Northwest Seaport Alliance authorize a chief executive officer or his delegate to execute the new lease and operating agreement between the Northwest Seaport Alliance and Union Pacific Railroad Company and the lease holdover agreement extension with BNSF Railway Company with lease rate and lift fee increases. And here's a map of the intermodal yard, the South Intermodal Yard. The first reading was presented at the February 3rd, 2026 manager member meeting. Northwest Seaport Alliance staff previously finalized the new lease for the SIM with Tacoma Rail, City of Tacoma, which was approved by the managing members in August 2025. A new lease operating agreement for the SIM yard and container support yards with Pacific Rail Services was approved by managing members in the February 2026 meeting. Northwest Seaport Alliance staff has negotiated a new lease and operating agreement with UP for the SIM intermodal operations. The new UP lease is from March 2026 through December 2030. Lease rates will continue to increase based on annual consumer price index, and the lift fee charge is amended to reflect an increase in the rates to offset the increased PRS rates. Staff continues to negotiate with BNSF to finalize a term lease agreement. BNSF has agreed to an extension of the current holdover agreement under the following terms. The extension will extend the current holdover period for up to an additional 60 days with an effective date of March 1st, 2026 and expiration date of April 30, 2026 or when a new lease agreement is finalized, whichever occurs first. The extension also commits BNSF to the new lease rate adjustment effective March 1st, 2026. The new lift fee rates, which has been amended to reflect an increase in the rates paid to the Northwest Seaport Alliance to offset the increased PRS rates, is part of the extension agreement. And the financial implications, as we've stated before, the SIM financial model is complicated due to the four separate agreements. The combination is still expected to provide approximately $7.8 million in operating income per year. And to recap the action item, request the managing members of the Northwest Seaport Alliance authorize the chief executive officer or his delegate to execute the new lease operating agreement between the Northwest Seaport Alliance and Union Pacific Railroad Company, Railroad Company, and the lease holdover agreement extension with BNSF Railway Company with lease rate and lift fee increases.
Thank you. Before any questions or comments, do I hear a motion and a second?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, it was moved by Commissioner Keller, and I didn't catch who the second. Commissioner McCarthy seconded. Okay, thank you. Questions or comments? It's a great presentation. That's what it is. I'm telling you right now.
I'm just reading it now.
Commissioner Ang, do you have any questions or comments?
No, I don't.
Okay, seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And Commissioner Ang, for the record?
Aye.
Thank you. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
That was painless, right? Okay, there's Aaron right there on schedule. Okay, it's a request for to amend the lease agreement with SSA Terminal, so.
Yes, thank you. Aaron Light, Senior Real Estate Manager, and here to present the fifth lease amendment for Terminal 5 with SSA. I'm requesting the following action. Request the Northwest Seaport Alliance managing members authorize the NWSA Chief Executive Officer or their delegate to enter into the Fifth Amendment to Terminal 5 lease agreement with SSA Terminal Seattle Terminals LLC in substantially the same form as presented to extend the date of completion of the container yard expansion project from on or before January 1st, 2026 to on or before December 31st, 2026. To start with some background on why I'm making this request, the SSA lease at Terminal 5 contemplates a number of capital improvement projects, and one of these projects is one that we call the Container Yard Expansion Project. At a high level, this project looks at demolishing the container freight station, which is a warehouse on this area, pavement restoration, adding stormwater infrastructure, and removal of two existing fuel stations. The third amendment to the T5 lease provides that this project is to be completed by January 1st of 2026. For reasons that I'll get into at a later slide, this project was put on pause, and so this date was not achievable. The purpose of this amendment is then to extend the completion date to December 31st, 2026, which is an achievable completion date. To give an idea of what I'm talking about, this is approximately 5.8 acres. This is not currently an SSA's leasehold area. This is at the southeast end of Terminal 5, and you can see the warehouse for demolition, and then it sits on approximately 5.8 acres of yard. Following completion of this project, this area would be transitioned into SSA's leasehold, and they would commence paying rent and utilizing this area. So now to get into why we put the project on hold. In July 2024 and November 24, SSA approached the NWSA and requested that we temporarily put a hold on this project so that they could explore other uses for the warehouse itself. The NWSA looked into this and agreed that it would be beneficial, as utilizing this asset could be a better use with not demolishing it, as it could diversify cargo and add jobs. SSA did identify potential interest, but could not get a sufficient commitment that justified changing the project scope. In April 2025, we decided to move forward with the project as originally described and in its original scope. So, with this pause, the project could not be completed by January 1st, 2026, and with this amendment, we are requesting that the completion date be changed to December 31st, 2026, which is achievable. The current container yard expansion project is expected to reach substantial completion at the end of 2026, but this date is not guaranteed as there are a number of project-related items that we do not have control over for when they occur. Once this happens, once the project is completed, the premises will expand within SSA's control from 147.6 acres to 153.4 acres. For the financial implications of this amendment, this delay in delivery does not impact the current budget, which models full phase two rent commencing in 2027. This amendment stays in line with current models. And finally, restating the action requested, request the Northwest Seaport Alliance managing members authorize the NWSA Chief Executive Officer or their delegate to enter into the Fifth Amendment to Terminal 5 lease agreement with SSA Terminal Seattle Terminals LLC in substantially the same form as presented to extend the date of completion of the Container Yard Expansion Project from on or before January 1st, 2026 to on or before December 31st, 2026. Thank you.
Thank you. Do I have a motion and a second?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and second. Moved by Commissioner Keller, second by Commissioner Calkins. Questions or comments?
Sure.
Go ahead, Fred.
Sorry. So I can understand the value to us to start getting full lease value, right? So what is that worth, that addition? Like, this is currently not in the leasehold?
Yeah. So it would be entered into at the then current rate that SSA is paying. So currently, and apologies, I have it right here. It would be $13,788 per acre, and it's almost 6 acres.
Six.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it needs a stormwater update, and there's two fuel stations. Are they intact? Are they? Do we know what the status of their integrity is?
They're existing, but they're not needed, and that area would be better utilized as yard space.
So that's the question. At this point in time, given the volumes, while I see the value for the revenue,
mm-hmm.
is it needed for the operations?
Maybe I can help with that.
Thank you.
So with the current volumes that are being moved through that terminal, I would say that the existing footprint is more than satisfactory. So this is more about staying consistent with the lease and the revenue associated with that additional acreage.
There's one more?
Yes, go ahead, Frank.
Because I know we've been exploring potential break bulk operations at other terminals, and I thought there was some interest, and I didn't know, is there a potential conflict with moving cans and bulk at T5, or if we'd be able to schedule that?
You know, we'd have to coordinate with the operator, SSATs. From my standpoint, I'm looking at Tong, I don't think that there is an inherent conflict. I would say, though, that we do have both Terminal 46 and Terminal 30 at our disposal, as well, that we're marketing for non-containerized cargo. Tong, do you have anything to add to that?
No, you're accurate. CEO Wolf, I see it the same way.
Any other questions or comments? I got one quick one. It's been over a year, I believe, that SSA or EVER has been trying to attract cargo that needed, and has there been any response from anybody?
No. So we teamed up with SSA and pursued a number of leads relative to utilization of the CFS building. In the end, I think all parties agree it doesn't quite pencil out, so it can't justify a sustained business deal there. So we did team up with them, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Ang, do you have any questions or comments?
No, I don't, Commissioner.
Okay, any other comments or questions? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Thank you. Opposed? Okay, carried. Thank you. Appreciate it. Next item on the agenda is the CMA CGM modification agreement. John, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay, well, thank you, Co-Chair Marzano. I have the privilege of presenting this item. And so the action requested is that the managing members of the Northwest Seaport Alliance authorize a 100-day deferral of the deadline to pay the shortfall lift fee for CMA CGM /APL under the parties October 28, 2021 modification agreement, during which deferral period, the shortfall lift fee shall accrue 4.5% interest. So a bit of background here. The original lease was held with Port of Seattle and APL, and There was a lease termination agreement with Eagle Marine, the operator, and APL at Terminal 5, and that was signed June of 2014 with the Port of Seattle. Related agreements impose certain obligations as conditions to the Port of Seattle's consent, including an annual payment by APL of $9 million per year for each of 10 years, continued presence in the Seattle Harbor, meaning APL's cargo would need to stay in the Seattle Harbor. And again, this predates the Seaport Alliance, so that makes sense that the Port of Seattle would strike that deal. And there was a volume guarantee. APL did pay several of the sublease consent fees and failed to meet several of the requirements of the termination agreement, primarily due to the lift or vessel shortfall. And so then at one point, and I can't remember the date, CMACGM acquired APL and assumed all of the obligations that APL carried with the Port of Seattle. And then, of course, the Northwest Seaport Alliance was formed, so we, the Seaport Alliance, inherited the agreement from the Port of Seattle. The first amendment to the termination agreement was approving Seaport Alliance managing members on May 5th, 2020, to resolve outstanding shortfall issues in exchange for a waiver of interest charges to increase and extend volume requirements to 2026. So essentially, we brought before you that amendment in May of 2020, and that was the first modification agreement of the Seaport Alliance. Then in October of 2021, the Northwest Seaport Alliance managing members authorized a modification agreement to fully address past due and future sublease consent fees in consideration of CMACGM's express interest in a continued and expanded presence in the Northwest Seaport Alliance gateway. In connection with the modification agreement, APL has paid approximately $12.3 million in minimum annual guarantee payments from July of 21 through June of 2024, and a little over $10 million in sublease consent fee in December of 2021. In return for the forgiveness of the sublease consent fees in the amount of totaling $22.6 million, the parties agreed to the following. A minimum lift requirement extended and increased through 2031, and that is the current agreement we're operating under. Failure to meet the minimum annual guarantee would require an assessed shortfall fee of $75 per lift at the end of each 12-month period. Failure to pay the shortfall lift fee when due, when triggered, there's a $2.26 million late shortfall lift fee penalty for any late payment, which is secured and may be called immediately. And if CMACGM APL defaults prior to July 1st of 2026, Seaport Alliance may elect to terminate and seek a breach of damage penalty of the full $22.6 million. And applicable interest for late payments is also applied at 12%. So the financial implications of the proposed deferral. The shortfall lift fee of $5.4 million in change originally invoiced on August 25th, 2025, will be charged a simple interest on outstanding amount at an annualized rate of 4.5%. Payments and interest would now be due in full on July 1st of 2026 unless otherwise agreed to by the parties, subject to managing member approval. Total interest due on July 1st, 2026 will be approximately $188,000. Total payment due on July 1st, 2026 with approval of this amendment would be totaling approximately $5.6 million, and that is the 5.5 plus the accrued interest. Northwest Seaport Alliance would not exercise on unsecured late shortfall lift fee penalty during this time. So with that as background, again, staff is requesting managing members of the Seaport Alliance authorize a 100-day deferral of the deadline to pay the shortfall lift fee for CMACGM APL under the parties October 28, 2021 modification agreement, during which deferral period the shortfall lift fee shall accrue 4.5% interest.
Thank you, John. Do I hear a motion and a second?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Cho, seconded by Commissioner Keller. Questions or comments? No questions or Commissioner Ang, any questions or comments?
I do not.
Okay, I see none. So with that, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed?
Aye. Nay.
Okay. Okay, we have it passed with Commissioner McCarthy voting nay. Thank you, John. That was it. Okay, next on the agenda is our briefings. We have no briefing scheduled.
We have one.
We do general briefing. And under general business.
Oh, under but general business.
Yeah, under general no business, briefing. We You're do have a few things. So go ahead, John.
Okay, I'll let you introduce. Thank you. Yeah, general business. First of all, I'll invite Tong Ju and Jeff Bellaroof for to give an update on what's happening. Maybe a recap of our meetings at TPM, which many of the commissioners were in attendance for, and any other operational commercial updates. So Tong Ju, Chief Commercial Officer, and Jeff Bellaroot, Chief Operating Officer.
Great. I think are done.
Yeah, I'll just help kick us off. I wanted to extend a huge thank you to all the commissioners for attending the Trans-Pacific Maritime Conference. I've described it in the past as speed dating, and it didn't disappoint. But outstanding meetings, engagements, whether that's 5 minutes standing in the hallway, a lot of good input from the commissioners that attended the meetings, outstanding outreach, and I'm excited for Tong to share some of the statistics because I think you'll be really impressed. One thing I just wanted to add, because I found it really interesting, one of the key themes of the Trans-Pacific 2026 that was really prevalent, and I've never heard it emphasize as much as it was this year, and I've been going to TPM for many, many years, and that is the importance of the role of ports and port complexes. I attended several of the breakout sessions, and this was front and center, as well as with the meetings we had with the customers, and here's why. It makes perfect sense. So with the chaos that we see in the marketplace, it's becoming evident that this will continue. It's the new norm. And supply chains, they do not like inconsistency. They look for constant flow, predictability. And lessons learned coming out of the pandemic, there's really only one area where the multitude of supply chain service providers all come together, and that's at a port. And so the point made by many of the speakers, as well as when we're with customers, is this is where gateways can really step up and help improve upon that inconsistency in many different ways. It may involve expediting cargo. It may involve providing additional surge capacity to try and smooth out these supply chains, if you will. And why I just wanted to highlight that before handing it over to Tong and Jeff is that the good news in all that is that's our strength. That's how we differentiate ourselves at the Northwest Seaport Alliance. And we heard that. It was really encouraging, especially when we were talking to the importers and the exporters, that they need our help. And so it's really an opportunity for us to walk the talk, and that's exactly what we plan on doing. So I just wanted to share that. I'll send it over to you, Tom.
Thank you. Just to echo what Deputy CEO Esterbrook said, that one of the main theme from this conference...
Just move it closer to you.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. The main theme from this conference is really in line with what Deputy CEO Esterbrook mentioned. It is about taking costs out, and it is about putting value in everything we do, and Port is obviously in a unique position to do just what Don described. So very much so. How many of you wanted to go back to TPM in the next couple of days? Oh, okay, well, Don. Well, it's predictable, Don. What a great opportunity for us to engage our customers and the supply chain partners. So thank you, commissioners, for joining us. I just want to cite a few stats that Don mentioned. Our team, our commercial team with support from ops team, put this whole thing together. And we engaged over 100 BCOs, 100 BCOs in 2.5 days. And we also engaged with the top 4 or 5 MVOs. And we have a record-breaking attendance at our TPM reception. In fact, as some of them said, that's the highlight of their TPM experience. It was a little shocking for me to hear that. So I'm thinking, this is a good money-making opportunity. Maybe we should turn this into a revenue-generating opportunity. And for me, it's a personal record-breaking because I walked like 16,000, not miles, steps into every day, 16,000 steps. So I need a pair of new shoes. the other theme that is throughout the conference, obviously, has taken over the tariff, the subject of tariff is the war, right? So lots discussion around that area. What does that do to the cost of fuel? What does that do to the continue to escalating in terms of cost of chartering vessels? What does that do to the supply chain in terms of what's the impact to the West Coast ports and to us specifically? A lot of questions lingering all over mine. I want to end mine. Remarks by inviting you all to our upcoming mini TPM called Peak Planning. That's scheduled for May 12th. And we are fortunate to invite one of the highly respected editor from JLC to join us and be the keynote speaker. We do hope that commissioners, you will make time to attend. So with that, Jeff.
Thank you, Tong. really feeding off both Don and Tong's comments around certainty. We were down at TPM at a great time because there is some uncertainty just to the north of us. There's cold weather and rail car supply that's impacting both the containerized business and the non-containerized. If you drove past T46 in the last couple of days, we discharged 1,614 Nissans that were destined for Canada, but that vessel needed to get back on its rotation. And those cars didn't have a place to go in Canada. So they brought them into T46. We offered that certainty that Don is referring to, and we're able to provide a great product. Those are loading back to a ship over today and tomorrow. The beauty of it, 147 jobs were created for Local 1952. So a nice hit for the jobs, great certainty in showing off the capabilities of our port. Going down to the container side, we're still tracking very well on our three key metrics. Our vessel productivity is just under 26 moves an hour year to date. The one that I really want to highlight is that rail dwell. We are staying consistent. We're at 3.08 days for the gateway, which is tremendous. At a time where the Canadian gateways just to the north of us are in excess of 8-day average dwell, there's hundreds of thousands of feet of containers sitting on terminals with nowhere to go. Our gateway, our terminal operators, our labor partners are delivering an outstanding product to the market. The truck turn time, which is near and dear to all of our hearts, continues to trend positively. We're at 74 minutes year to date. That includes that queuing time. Again, this is an area that we're working hard to knock down. We want to be best in class for that trucking community, and we're gonna get there. Last month, you heard some of the port community system items that we're working on. This is always front of mind for us to continue to drive down that truck service. With that, we'll open up for any questions.
Okay. Anybody have any questions or comments? Commissioner Eng, just in case.
No, thank you.
Commissioner Keller.
I really want to thank staff. You did such an outstanding job, and to listen to all of our customers, you know, who also said that, you know, that you do a first-class job of taking care of their needs. So I want to thank you so much. You did a great job.
Thank you, Commissioner. I should make one more mention, because in case any questions from you, we were disappointed to. I'm sure you all have heard about the discontinuation of ESL and UWL partnership. It will be effective, my understanding is March 20th will be the last vessel call. And I wanted to assure you, your team is working on all angles and try to bring that service back to this gateway. Will not be this year, but we're aiming to do everything we can to bring it back next year. So more to come on that.
Thank you. Commissioner Feldman?
I'd like to also express appreciation that it's a coordination from another planet to pull all that together. And to follow up on our disappointment with that niche Korean service, Vietnam service, my bad. That's what I meant. Our meeting with Brooks, I saw the data where, you know, Vietnam is the fastest growing proportionally service, and Brooks was making great use of them. So despite the fact that they are not using our service at this point, they are advocating for folks to come to our gateway. We're so pleased with the operations here. They were like our best promoter, nothing like having third-party validation to say rah, rah. I was thinking that we might have to come up with some kind of a North Star Award for best promoter of the gateway.
Hype man award.
Honestly, it was really impressive. They were, you know, so informed and so enthusiastic, despite the fact that they are disappointed by the service. It was really quite impressive. And did you have something to add to that?
I just wanted to echo what you just said. Steve Belaski, who led this whole planning effort, the TPM planning effort, and I were invited to join the UWL at their kind of bittersweet customer reception. It was evident to me that, boy, our values are so aligned with what UWL, ESL, the service, the kind of service they provide, that level of customer care. And to be honest with you, I see them as our own service provider because they call our gateway exclusively. So it's even more disappointing. But what is relief to hear from that reception is that they have some really loyal BCO accounts that really believe in that, in them, in the service that they provided. So it is our collective effort and hope that will help navigate through this, and hopefully they will come back to our gateway next year.
If I could just point out one other major disappointment was the one presentation we heard, really environmental presentation, was post-IMO. And all these commitments that the carriers were making to meet what they thought was the imminent regulatory environment has gone away, and it was particularly disappointing for Maersk. Several of their methanol vessels are now going to be LNG vessels, and the executive compensation that was to be applied to carbon reduction efforts is no longer there, and this is coming from Maersk. So really shows how uncertainty in the regulatory environment can result in such a major setback. So anyway, that's ending on a bummer note.
Any other comments? Commissioner McCarthy?
Well, since the topic is the TPM conference, I think logistically, really want to thank Leilani for getting us where we were supposed to be. Air transportation, rooms, transit, all of the logistics really was great. Really appreciate that. You herded us very, very well. The conference itself, my observation is that when you get below the keynote speakers, they're really, I was not impressed with a lot of the presentation and speakers, quite honestly. Janice Allen was interesting, Peter Tershall of JOC, Jeremy Nixon. But when you got down in it, that conversation style of presentation just doesn't work. And they, I would hope, if you're looking for observations about it, I hope they would step up their game in terms of presentations. Absolutely great reception. My big disappointment was I never had the opportunity to meet substantively with customers, and which is one of the main reasons that I go. And so those are my observations of it.
Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you. Duly noted.
Anybody else? Go ahead, Commissioner Cochran.
Just I also want to share about my experience at TPM. To be additive over and above what's been mentioned, I think there's also a good opportunity to talk with folks operating in DC on a sort of federal maritime strategy approach. And with the release of the Maritime Action Plan from the White House, there is a momentum around kind of an industry-wide approach to reinvigorating maritime. The key officials are now officially appointed. They've been Senate approved, and so there seems to be some action now behind these plans, and I think that's positive for us in a lot of ways. I want to reiterate that we really need to close the land border loophole, and so our advocacy in support of Commissioner Bekich and others who have been champions for closing that loophole are really vital, and I think now more urgent than ever. There is legislation working its way through Congress, and we need to make sure that that is included in it. And there's some burrs in the saddle there, too, that we need to try to work to undo so that we're not unduly burdening ports with additional taxes or tariffs or fees of any sort. So I came away feeling fairly optimistic in those conversations that we are part of a coalition. I say we, you know, ports. We certainly have other stakeholders in that who are also interested in keeping any sort of friction out of the system as possible, while also recognizing that we do need to finance these things in some way. So I was encouraged by that. I also had the opportunity to meet with some of our counterparts in other ports up and down the West Coast. And I'm always impressed with the reputation that our leadership has amongst other ports, that your professionalism, your hard work, the advocacy you do both for us here in the Pacific Northwest and also for the industry is recognized. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Ryan. Just a quick comment on with regards to TPM. You know, it keeps getting more expensive. I understand that. But at the same time, I think to myself, what would it take for us to call on the customers that we do in those 3 days if we were to start traveling and trying to meet all of them? And we're way ahead money-wise by being able to have all those players in the same room in the same area. Same time zone too. I cannot emphasize enough the quality and the professionalism of our staff and all the work that they did. We had a booth there for the very first time. I went down there several times, and it was always surrounded by people. These are things that people will remember, and it's something that we can be very proud of as commissioners, that we have such the fine leadership and the staff that makes TPM, I think, a success. Even though at the end of the 2.5 to 3 days, you feel like you've already lived a month in a short period of time, and you're exhausted, it's well worth it. And I couldn't agree more with what Commissioner McCarthy said with Alani. There's no doubt I would be lost, and so would several of us, if it wasn't for her texting us and telling us, what are you doing? You're supposed to be over here. So it was great. It really was. So with that, any other comments from you two? Okay. John?
Yeah, I'll just build off of what was shared real quick. When I think about the TPM conference, I get excited from the standpoint of what we're all talking about. It's an opportunity for us to get in front of many different customers, hear from them, ask a lot of questions, get feedback of how we're doing and opportunities to even do better. I want to give a shout out, it's been mentioned, but Steve Blasky in the back of the room and his team really did yeoman's work to schedule all these meetings, and it is extremely challenging. So thanks, Steve, to you and your team. And Leilani, of course, for being our quarterback, keeping us in line. You know, we have so much going on in the industry with the threat of ongoing tariffs and different tools there, the geopolitical issues, the war and tensions abroad, impacting fuel costs, uncertainty there, higher costs, inflationary costs. The shipping lines are reevaluating their shipping lanes and how they respond to the marketplace, which can have an effect on our gateway. And many other disruptions that some of which we can't even see yet, and they're lurking around the corner, and we will respond to them accordingly. And as I keep going back to, amidst all that, that we have to stay in tune with and be responsive to and nimble to, we also have to lean on our fundamentals. And we do that well. Our team does that well, and you all support that very well. The fundamentals of being excellent at customer care, customer service, being responsive to the customer, and being excellent at in terms of our gateway operations and operational performance, because so much of the other stuff we can't control. Yet, amidst all of those uncertainties and things we can't control, those two areas speak loudly to our customer base and creates a sense of loyalty. And so I think about the opportunities as here we are in March already, to double down our efforts in those areas, because there's always a gap to close. You never get to the destination. And so I'm excited about some of the initiatives that we're working on in the new year, focused in those two areas. And we can't do it alone. So I think about some key stakeholders that we're going to partner with in a stronger way: our labor partners, the railroads, our terminal operators, and ourselves, coming together and finding ways to pursue a greater efficiency in this gateway and customer care. That will reign true in terms of solidifying those customer relationships even amidst all the uncertainty. So that's where we're focused. And with that, I'll turn it back to the co-chairs. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. This brings us down, and I don't know, John, you have CEO announcements.
That was it.
That was it. Okay, very good. Commissioner, come on. Oh, go ahead.
Just a quick comment. The Port of Seattle has decided that we're going to cancel our May 12th meeting so that as many commissioners who are interested are able to attend the peak planning meeting. We feel like it's a really high priority for us. So, Tong, to your point, mini TPM, we'd like to be there and be able to support the work you're doing there.
Thank you.
Very good. Any other commissioners comment? Commissioner McCarthy.
I guess I wanted to just talk a little bit about cargo volume and my concerns. Just seeing our volumes for January this year, and our volumes being down last year. The numbers I saw for January, I don't know if February looks any better, but the numbers I'm seeing for January, particularly in the North Harbor, are really not, they're bad, I think. So maybe if we could get a bit of an update as to what's going on, because that's the that's the meat and potatoes of what we're here for. So I think we need to confront realities if that's an ongoing problem, or we need to talk about it and make sure our focus is there. That's my thought. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other commissioners comment? What's that? Well, Tom, you were going to...
I'm happy to answer Commissioner McCarthy's fair question. Yes, our volume was down in January, and so were every other port. It's no excuse. I wanted to just remind our commissioners, two factors. One is the Lunar New Year, right? Everything...
The what? I'm sorry.
Lunar New Year.
Lunar New Year, right? Everything shut down in January, February time frame. The other is last January, as you recall, we have a lot of front loading happening in anticipation of tariff, So to me, it was a little bit unusual, lay high, last January. So those are two significant factors went into why we have seen a 13% decline. Now, I'm not proud of it, but that's a form of that's a reality. I think all ports are dealing with the same thing. So I'm hoping, and we're working towards better second half and the balance of the year. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no further comments from the commissioners, I just have one, and that is March is one of my favorite months because spring training is happening, yeah, and March Madness starts pretty soon, too. So with that, the time now is 12:57, and with no further business, we stand adjourned. Thank you all for attending.